Welcome back, everyone, to the Investing in Real Estate show. I hope you are having a wonderful end of your summer. I'm Clayton Morris, a longtime real estate investor. On this show, our goal is to make you a more intelligent real estate investor, to create passive income so you get out of the rat race, out of the 9-to-5, and have those assets working for you. And on this show, it's our Q&A episodes where you're able to call us. Just go to morrisinvest.com, and there's a microphone icon right on the home screen of our website. Click on that microphone and leave us a 30-second voicemail question or so, anything that's on your mind as it relates to real estate, investing, taxes, and we will attempt to tackle it here on the show. So we have three great questions from three great listeners. Without further ado, let's hear from Christopher as our first caller.
Hey, Clayton. Chris here. What is the best way of selling an investment property with regards to occupancy? I tried to sell one of my out-of-market properties through Roofstock at one point, unsuccessfully as it turned out. Since that's an investor-to-investor market, they prefer the properties to be fully occupied. Now I'm looking into relisting the same property, but this time I'm thinking of finding a local realtor. I'm guessing that using this method, they would prefer the property to be vacant, but is that how they would sell for an investor? Would they approach the current tenants and ask if they would like first dibs on owning the property themselves? Or if not, or if the tenant says no, then would I need to start the process of removing the tenant from the property? I would presume I'd have to wait until the lease term was up. If it was month by month, I could probably give them 30 or 60 days notice. Or would I list the property with the tenant in it and then give them notice once I get under contract? Of course, that would make me feel like a heel kicking them out for nothing, that they did deserve it. But how have you done it in the past when you were starting out investing?
Thanks, Christopher. Great questions. So let's unpack a few of these things. First of all, it really depends on your goals, right? Is it your goal to sell it quickly, right? That certainly would weight my answer, right? If you need to sell it ASAP, then there's certain things you would want to do to sell it quickly. If you don't care about that, and you want to maximize profits, that would be something you discuss with the realtor based on the current market conditions and seeing, well, I could really get bang for my buck if this house was vacant and I could stage it properly and go through the whole nine yards. If this is a residential market where you're definitely going to have a home buyer is going to want to move in and live in that property, then yes, you're probably going to end up going with the decision of having the property vacant before selling it. I just think of like my mom. She recently, my father passed away last year, and the home that my childhood home in Reading, Pennsylvania, has now vacant. They cleaned it all out, and then before selling the property, it was all empty. But that house, if it had a tenant in that property, because it was a residential neighborhood, it really wasn't a rental market. That neighborhood was not. Maybe a few houses in that area were rented, but almost all of them were owner occupied. They lived there to be in that school district. Very few rentals in that area. And so really, you're going to let the market conditions dictate. So I would ask your realtor, you know, how many of these properties in this area are rental properties? Is this a rental area or is this more of a owner-occupied area? And actually, that data is pretty easy to look up too, and you can find that online, a bunch of different sources with the county to find out, you know, how many renters are in this neighborhood. That will really dictate whether or not you should stage it for an owner-occupied sale of that property. That's one piece of this. A couple of the other things that come to mind on this are, I know how you could feel like being a heel, you know, kicking somebody out, and that absolutely would be the case. So how we've done it in the past is we've given the opportunity to a tenant, are you interested in buying this property? And now the beauty of real estate investing, of course, is you can do it however you want. You had a whole series of questions here, Christopher. You could construct this thing however you want, right? You could take this property and you could do a rent-to-own situation with a tenant. They're already living in the property. Do they want to own the property? Well, you would simply construct a promissory note. There, they would put down a deposit. Okay, even though they've been living in the property, maybe the deposit's already on file, maybe just adding an additional amount for down payment and constructing a promissory note there where they pay it off in a certain number of years, right? That's one way to do it. Now, if they don't complete that process, obviously they would lose that deposit. So this is where it can get a little hairy and a little shady, and you want to be protective of those tenants. I don't like people who, there are people out there who will literally take advantage of tenants in this situation. There's been whole exposés about these types of people. Don't be one of those people. And I've never done this, by the way. I've never done a rent-to-own situation. We've offered it to tenants, and they said they were interested in and in the end, we never ended up doing it. But you know what the way that the sharks operate is that they prey on people like this, where they'll take the deposit knowing that they will never, ever stick it out and actually end up buying the property. And then, of course, they lose that deposit. And then they rinse and repeat with a whole new tenant, with a whole new rent-to-own, you know, scam. Don't be one of those people. But if you construct it in such a way where there are angels out there who construct it in such a way to really help these people become homeowners, and you know, maybe their credit isn't the best. So there are actually some great rent-to-own people out there out of Baltimore. I interviewed them a number of years ago. Their whole mission is to help them improve their credit and to get stay in this home. They work with them. So if that's you, if that's something you want to do, then you could really work with the tenant to, they own the property, right? You just have to construct a promissory note however you'd want. But again, I would talk to the realtor and find out the market situation here. You know, is this a situation where someone's going to be interested in buying a property that has a tenant already in place? I can tell you from my own experience, unless it's like a new construction property and a tenant is going to be placed at the time of the closing on buying this property, and here a few weeks later, I bought the property, and now a few weeks later, the property management company is placing a tenant in the property for me as an investor, great. But if I'm like buying it from some tired landlord off of Craigslist, and I don't know the history of this property, I've gotten burned over the years from doing this. And so that's why I'm speaking from experience. Years ago, and I'll never do this again, but we bought a package of 10 properties years ago. And it had tenants in it that were legacy tenants. Some of these tenants were in there for many, many years. And it was my ignorance. And it was really kind of an experiment slash ignorance that we did it this way. But the landlord owned like 50 or 60 properties. He was unloading 10 at a time. And he had a great relationship with these tenants in the property. And we thought, great, we will assume these tenants, right? We're going to buy these 10. They'll be all rented. It'll all be hunky-dory. Well, little did we know that he had like sort of a knock-on-the-door rental situation with each of these tenants. Like that's the kind of landlord he was. That's not the kind of landlord I am, right? I'm a hands-off. I want property management to handle this. I don't want to be involved. And so the moment that he was out of the picture, some of the tenants stopped paying. And then we had to go through the eviction process on like three or four of these units, and it was just a disaster. So very often you're going to, you know, talk to the tenants, ask them what their goals are. Do they want to stay in this property? Because we're thinking about selling the property. If we do, nothing will change for you. We're going to work with the new owner to place, it'd be the same lease. They will just assume the lease agreement. Nothing will change, you know, in the transfer. You don't have to worry about it. So again, having these discussions, just being upfront, right? We have a rental crisis in this country. We need units, right? There's such a demand for rental properties in the United States. So if there's a problem, God forbid, they need to move out. Maybe the new owners could find new tenants if there's an issue. But again, I would talk to this realtor. They're going to understand what this market looks like. How can you maximize the profits on this property and selling it? And it may need to be vacant and staged properly. Or it may be beneficial that there's a tenant already in the property that's cash flowing, and maybe an investor would be interested in buying the property. It really just comes down to those two things, Christopher. Is it going to be an investor buying the property, or is it going to be a rent residential owner-occupied property? Someone's going to live in the property. Two different things, right? Because if it's going to be an owner-occupied, they're not going to want a tenant living there. So these things you need to square away to make your decision. Anyway, I know I added a lot more context here, but I just wanted people who may have a different situation to maybe better understand this. So there's a lot more nuances here than just maybe Christopher's question. So thanks for that great question. All right, our next one comes for us from Melody.
Hi, I'm from New Jersey. Currently, I have a total of 8 unit rental property, but all my 4 units together have a negative cash flow right now. So what's your recommendation about changing negative cash flow to positive cash flow? I do not want to sell the houses yet. Thank you.
All right. So you've got properties with negative cash flow. Well, first of all, I would want to know, are you managing these properties yourself? Because it seems to me that's where a lot of the problem comes from, Melody, is people trying to manage properties themselves. Again, I am a big proponent of working with high quality property management teams. That's what we do at Morris Invest. Like, we work with the best property management companies. Okay. They might take a few weeks or a few months to get the right tenant in the property. I would much rather them wait a little bit of time to identify a great tenant who's going to stay for years, rather than just shoving some tenant in the property. And then you go through a tenant turnover a few months later because that tenant was a flake and fell out. We don't want that, right? So you've got to work with good property management. That would be, to me, the first order of business. Are you managing the properties yourself? Okay, if you are, then I'm going to go out on a limb and say maybe that's where the problem is. Okay, and if not, then maybe it's time to shop for new property management or have a serious conversation with the property management team. Why are these properties not rented? Again, we have a rental crisis in the United States. We need millions of units. Okay, so if you have had, in New Jersey, most densely populated per capita state in the country, right? I lived in New Jersey. I was born in New Jersey. It is densely populated and they absolutely need rental units. You should not be sitting vacant for a very long time at all in that state, okay? Unless there's something wrong. Now, if property management is not the issue and you're getting feedback like, oh, these units are just old, right? Like, down the street, someone's able to rent this property for the same amount of money, but they're getting granite countertops, or they get a parking space, or the carpet is not nasty, it's updated, the kitchen cabinets are better. Then I would start to, these are discussions you'll have with your property management team. Like, okay, I've got a unit that's renting for $1,500 a month, but it's vacant. Down the street, someone is renting a property for $1,500 a month, but they've got updated cabinets, they've got maybe the heating is updated, or the flooring, it looks nicer. There's just updated amenities. It's not dated. It's not old. It's not problematic. Right. And these are concerns. Then you may need to consider lowering your rent, right? Or updating some of the fixtures and features in the property to bring it up to speed with the current state of where things are on that block or within that mile or so, radius. What does your competition look like? We don't necessarily want to be the best property on the block, the most expensive, right? We want to be better than average and kind of right in line right there, right? We want to be competing with these other properties that are having showings on a regular basis and are getting rented. If people are passing over your properties, what's the feedback that you're hearing, Melody? Are you hearing that they don't like the location? They don't like the location, location, location. And maybe that's an issue. Then maybe you should think about selling. Is it that your amenities, it just looks dated? Just, something's not right about it. They just don't like, it just looks old. Things are out of date. The cabinets are out of date. The appliances are old. Then maybe it's time to invest in some new appliances or update a few of those things. Again, that's good feedback. But the third, it could just be literal property management and a lack of advertising. And it could be that you've got a property management team that's just not pushing this property well, is not getting your property in front of clients that could be renting this property. Or the fourth issue is that you are the property manager. And that opens up a whole other can of worms. Again, put that in the hands of real property managers who can do the job for you. And again, if you're paying 8, 10, 12% a month to the property manager, that's money well spent, because right now you're negative cash flow, right? If you're doing it yourself, what you're doing right now is not working. And so if these properties are sitting vacant, wouldn't it be better to pay 10% to a property management team that it can actually have them cash flowing and taken care of and, and getting leases renewed and all of that stuff? So anyway, not to be a Debbie Downer, but I hope one of those four options is available to you to take a listen to and to put into action. All right, our next question comes to us from James.
Hey, Mr. Morris, this is James from Pittsburgh, Kansas. I was watching one of your videos on YouTube, and I just wanted to know that if I could take out my 401k to buy a rental property, or should I use my credit card, which I have an American Express? I wanted to see if I could use that instead and put a down payment towards that. But Pittsburgh, Kansas is a really small town. I don't know if that would be a good thing or a bad thing. So I just wanted to know. And also, how do you step out of that comfort zone into actually, you know, going into that situation where you have to use your own money to actually buy a rental property? I feel like I'm stuck in that loop where I'm afraid to take that extra step I'm in. So please help me out. You know, I really want to do this, but I'm just scared to take that step. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for the question. I will say, James, first thing, I would book a call with our team at Morris Invest. It's free. When you book a call with our team, we can at least get to know you and point you in the right direction, even if you don't ever work with us, because we build about 500 properties a year. So not everyone that books a call with us will ever work with us, right? We have a finite amount of houses, single families and duplexes that we build that are new construction in the best rental markets in the country. We work with our property management teams to then place a tenant in the property. So it's fully done for you. Okay. If you don't ever work with us, it doesn't matter. We still love to talk to investors and at least help you in the right direction, pointing you in the right direction. And maybe 3 years from now, you'll work with us. Great. But at the very least, we can at least maybe alleviate some of those fears that you're having and kind of get a better sense of what your finances are, understanding what you're looking at, because you might not need to put such a large down payment or come out of pocket. You know, I know you're talking about Pittsburgh, Kansas, but I'm telling you, there's a whole other world out there, right? I don't own any of the properties I own in my own backyard. I invest in the best rental markets for a reason. So Pittsburgh, Kansas, again, is your own backyard, but that might not be a great rental market at all. And then, of course, that opens up another can of worms, which is now you're going to be your own landlord. You know, you're probably going to want to become your own property manager and managing this property yourself on top of that. And then you're creating a new job for yourself. Now you're nervous and you're going to be driving by this property all the time. And then, you know, so the one way I overcome this is I like to think of it. What if, James, you had 50 rental properties? Okay. You had 50 rental properties, not necessarily in Pittsburgh, Kansas, but in some of the best rental markets in the country, like where we build our properties in West Texas. Okay. Number one landlord-friendly state in the country, by the way. So what if you owned 50 rental properties that weren't in your backyard? How would you react differently now that you had 50 properties rather than going for your first one? So you said, how do I overcome these fears? I like to act as if. I like to think, okay, how will I be 5 years from now, James? Like, imagine having those 50 properties. Would you be upset if one of those 50 or two of those 50 properties has a vacancy for a few weeks or a month or 2 months while the property management company is putting a new tenant in the property? Maybe one of them you know, needs a little bit of work after the tenant moved out after 2 years and they need to redo the carpet or to do some touch-up paint and fix a hole in the bathroom drywall. Okay, that stuff gets fixed and a new tenant moves in. Like, how would you feel, right? If you have one property, you're probably nervous about it. You're like, oh my God, what if that tenant moves out? Then I won't have cash flow for 3-4 weeks or a month or 2 months until we get a new tenant in that property, right? All of those things, right? It can seem a little scary, but now imagine having 50 or 1,000 properties. Then your whole demeanor shifts, doesn't it? Suddenly you're a different investor. You're not green behind the ears and you're nervous. So I know what it feels like. I remember the first time I got that first rent check and we got our first tenant in our first property. It was unbelievable. I cried actually because I knew then that this model works, right? I saw it. Okay. I've owned a property that I bought. I fixed it up. The property management company placed a tenant in the property and now it's cash flowing. And it was, for me, it was over from there. It was like, oh my God, here we go, right? And then it changed my life. So just, I want you to picture having multiple properties. The other piece about using a credit card versus financing or a 401k, I'm always going to want to look at, first of all, what are the financing options that I have available? Again, if you talk with our team, we work with over 100 different lenders with our company. So when people are investing or buying the properties that we sell, we want you to keep as much of your money in your own pocket. So we have great lenders at great interest rates who can put together all sorts of magic to make things happen. So you might not need to come out of your pocket very much. It really depends on your situation. Yes, we can use, you can borrow from your 401k, not to withdraw, but to borrow from it. Most people don't know that you can do that. We have full videos here on borrowing from your 401k or retirement plans. Sometimes people have an IRA or just money just sitting in a retirement account that they don't know about that they can leverage. And yes, you know, I always say Robert Kiyosaki bought his first rental property using a credit card. I've used credit cards, okay? And so just depends on the interest rates, right? Again, you're just using financial vehicles that exist. So if you can get good interest rates and low APRs, again, I'm not a financial advisor, so you need to do what you do and whatever, you know, suits you, James. But speak with our team and they can kind of guide you or point you in the right direction. Again, I'm not a financial advisor. I can't tell you what to do, but I can certainly tell you what I would do, which is to leverage my 401k if I could, and to use other people's money, use the bank's money to buy the rest of the property. So thanks to our great questions today. You can always leave us voicemail questions. Go to our website. We've got a ton of great resources. In fact, we just published a big article over there on West Texas, specifically in our Lubbock market. You can read all about how it's been named one of the most recession-resistant cities in America, how it was pandemic-resistant, now it's recession-resistant. So that's where we're building our properties. Go and check it out. Just come over to our website at morrisinvest.com and click on the little microphone icon right there. That's how you can leave us a voicemail question that we will read here on the show. Now, go out there, take action, and become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time, everyone.